You're right.
Interviews with haunting gurus.
Breaking quarantine with me is the head honcho of the haunted Lorianne Woods in Gainesville, Virginia. It's Ben Newman. What's up, Ben?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, it was a pleasure. I got to fill space with somebody, you know. I got time to.
Well, you're dredging the bottom of the barrel now.
That's what Sudsy told me, but I said no. I want to interview him anyway. No, actually, I've reached out to him, and I was like, all right, you know what? Well, for one, he added me to his Facebook DC haunt group.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, hey, welcome. Where are you located? I'm like, I'm up here in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Well, that's going to be a long way to go for a make and take. Or like, I said, I don't know why he added me, but he did, and I'm here. So, hey, how are you guys? Sudsy's been a supporter and listener of the podcast. So I said, hey, man, who are some of the best people in your group? And he's like, well, the guy who won the best walkthrough, or he's been like the consistent best walkthrough, is Ben Newman. I'm like, cool, hook me up with him. Nice, where is he? I've never come across you before, as I do run into people over the years who I hadn't come across videos or anything. So it's always good to discover people I kind of haven't run into over the last decade or so. How long has the haunt been in existence?
We've been doing the haunt since 2013 as a walkthrough. With 1 year off, we had 1 year where I broke my leg three places, so it turned into just a yard display that year.
I couldn't
do much.
You know what they say about excuses?
Yeah, exactly.
They're like assholes.
But we
everybody has anyway.
I broke my leg in September, so it ended up we just scrambled to get the a yard display and everything. But yeah, we started in 2013, and it's taking on its own life now. I it's out of my control. Growing every year, and we do support the our local food pantry, taking donations, and we get a lot of volunteers, great people that come out every year and help me build, help me do all the acting around the whole nine yards. So great group of people. Yeah. And then Mike, I've been with the DC area Home Haunters 2 years. So new to that group, but that's a great bunch of guys and valuable resources. They either have it or they know how to get it or they know how to make it. So it's been a great group to also be a part of.
Is that group fairly active? Do they get to a lot of get-togethers and stuff?
Yeah, we'll meet, since I've been into it, of course not this year, but we usually meet starting the spring through midsummer or so, like at least once a month, try to pick out two or three different projects we're going to work on, and then everyone comes out in the fall to do the tours of everyone's different either yard displays or home haunts and stuff like that. So
that's cool.
A really good group. Yeah.
You have one holy effing shit ball pro quality setup there for the haunt. Like, I was watching the video. I was expecting it to be a lot smaller, I guess.
That's what everyone says.
so many hallways, and it seems like it's a lot more hallway versus like these bigger rooms that you go into some haunts, but just. The maze is pretty lengthy. How large is it roughly, like square footage? Because we know it's all about the square footage. It's not about the actors or the effects or anything. It's about how many square feet you have. But how many square feet is it roughly, if you know?
I couldn't, it's in our backyard. So the last time I ran it with the linear measure, I think we're walking a little over 700 yards, but it's just in our quarter acre, like half of an acre backyard, just a lot of twists and turns in the woods to make it seem a lot bigger.
I seriously thought it was somewhere on some other town property or something. That's all on you. That's all in your backyard. Holy shit.
Yeah. And we get a lot of people that come, and it was like, well, okay, it's charity. Oh, they come to the front of the house and think, oh, it's pretty unassuming, because we try to minimize what's out front just for the neighbors' sake and everything. And when they get through the haunt, they're at the intent talking to the people that are hanging out there. They're like, how many backyards did we go through? Because that couldn't have been one house, right? And we're like, no, we just make it really twisty and turny to keep you off your guard and not sure where you're walking.
How do you deal with the neighbors on all of this? Do you have a good like neighborhood where they're supportive of this, or do you have headaches, or how do you handle it?
We have been amazingly fortunate to have like a neighborhood that's been very supportive, and since day one, we kind of knew we were looking to move and checking out this open house, and they were talking about, oh, this neighborhood does a lot of community stuff together. They do the Christmas lights, like decorating contests. And it's like, they even do a decorating contest for Halloween. I was like, oh, this is the place. We're going to have to move here. this is, if they're going to do that, they're going to, I got to get into this.
Yeah. My peoples.
after a couple seasons of I think they finally said that we weren't allowed to win the decorating anymore. So
you were disqualified.
We were disqualified after too many wins in a row. But yeah, it's been great. Everyone's very supportive. Knock on wood that we keep going that way. It's almost like a rite of passage. A lot of the kids, when they're too young, are scared to go through. Then they get a couple years older, they go through, and then like the next year they come back and they want to act or be involved with the haunt. So
they graduate and move.
Yeah, graduate up.
Up to acting or assisting in some way.
Yeah. And then I lost a lot of them. Now they're going on to college, but you know, they'll come back and still swing by and see what we're doing for the next season. Want to know what new theme or what new scares we're putting in. So definitely been a great experience.
How many shows do you put on? How often are you open in October?
We'll do two weekends before Halloween and then Halloween night. And usually we'll do like one Sunday afternoon just for like the chickens or the little kids that don't want to get scared without actors, so people can just walk through.
Yeah. So it's Friday and Saturday for two weekends and then Halloween. Now, if I was – no, look, on your website, it said that you weren't open last Halloween. Was that correct?
Yeah, we had a huge storm come in, so we made the decision to cancel because it was hitting at like 7 p.m. right during like key time when we're getting stuff.
Just dodged that bullet by the storm came in, and it was over by about 10 o'clock a.m. In the morning, and I could not believe it because all of the – I don't want to bore people because they've heard this story probably too many times last year, but it cleared up just in time, and though I did dial things back because I couldn't test out some animatronics that I wanted to put out because of the rain. So we kind of scaled it, and I didn't do a walkthrough last year either, but may do it this year because it is Saturday, you know.
I know, yeah.
And if I can get the neighbors to close the street down, you know, we might be back to a walkthrough this year. So let's talk about the backstory and just explain your backstory to us.
So to do an overall, we have six different sections, but the overall story is how there are certain places around the world that are just unholy cursed grounds, and this actually happens to be one of them. So our initial story tells the tale of a man that moves here during the Civil War era. We have a lot of Civil War battlefields right by, so we tied some stories into that. And it's the tale of his unfortunate woe of deciding to build his home on this land and all the things that go wrong for him. And then he starts making deals with witches and the Black Goat of the woods to, like, raise his dead family. So we have the undead coming back to life. We tie into a lot of, history around here and some of our local legends. So we morphed the Bunny Man story, the legend of the Bunny Man, to tie in. And then other characters are around when you go through the different sections. They're still tied to that first family. So we have like the descendants of that are all become cannibals and mutated from living on the land for generations, to his distant European cousins that bring their traveling circus to America and get stuck here as well.
Is the Bunny Man an actual town legend or something?
Yeah, in nearby to us in Fairfax County, there's a Legend of the Bunny Man. If you look it up, there are several stories in the Washington Post about a man in a bunny suit with a hatchet that was attacking people on what was like the Lover's Lane at that time. It was back, like, I think the early to mid 70s. And it kind of became like a creepypasta story now. So Bunny Man's all over the everywhere. So, yeah, we have a Bunny Man that's you come into his, you got to go through his house, and he's abducting people, and he's got people tied up, and all his maps of victims and bunny costumes he's making.
Now, you even had a little Lovecraft kind of woven into your prologue.
Yeah, kind of tied in, like the cursed ground is the. We ever build to it and keep unveiling a little bit at a time is if we ever dig deep enough into that ground, we may find some of the old ones buried beneath it in slumber.
Yeah, you had that quote from Color Out of Space. Now,
yeah.
Who does the voiceover for your videos? That guy is amazing. Who is that?
He is fantastic. I found him, of all things, just came across him on Fiverr. He's a DJ in Ireland, and he does like voice work and stuff on the side. So his voice was perfect for what we were going for. So
good deal.
He did all our
$5 for that.
Yeah, not $5 for that. That's the hook. That's the hook to get you on there. It's like $5 if you want 5 seconds. He did our voiceover, and he also did a voice track for us, animatronic skeleton we have that does the rules while you're waiting in line. So
yeah.
He did that one more in the style of a Vincent Price, but did our narration a little bit more serious.
Hey, you got a nice set of chops on that dude. I'll have to get his name from you later.
And then I told him, I said to people, like, oh, let's change theme this year. I was like, nah, we can't get rid of that good audio we have for the narration for that bit.
What does your build season look like? Like, how much effort do you have to put into setting this thing up and putting it all together?
At this point, with the size we've gotten to, it's getting close to year-round. We'll usually start meeting with like the core guys that help me out all the time doing building, talking through ideas maybe in like January. Getting everything kind of drawn out between then and February. And then once spring gets rolling around, we'll start doing building, get everything ready, and try to spend the hotter summer months here doing the detail work, what's all the heavy buildings done. And still, regardless of how early we start, I'm still doing lighting at the last second right before everyone's coming in. But yeah, we've gotten to a point now where we've figured out how to build a little smarter and build things so we can kind of leave it in the areas that are in the woods on our property set up, because we were doing a full tear down every year, and so much effort was spent into just tear down and putting the storage versus being able to build new things, and kind of focusing. We decided how to work around that, and so we can kind of focus more on building new things all the time.
How has the haunt developed over the past number of years? I mean, what were you doing prior to 2013?
We moved in 2011 to this new house, so we were just doing some small yard decoration, but Halloween's always been a passion of mine, and I, like, since I was probably 11 or 12, wanted a haunted house of my own. So finally convinced the wife to let's do something in the backyard, and we can be part of like the a little bit more than the standard decoration for the contest. And that first year it was just us and maybe like 5 friends that were just come over, like, you know, hey, hang out with us, it's gonna be a good time, have a couple beers and some laughs. And we had very minimal stuff, and like maybe 20 people came. But it's every year, it's kind of like wildfire, it's grown. And now we keep adding on, and then started going to some of the conventions, so like MHC, attending some of that, learning more, meeting people, reading everything I could find online. And now we're building full structures, and I got maybe about 10 to 12 guys that are core builders. And we usually run an actor pool of about 40 people, like maybe 25 to 30 every night. So it's like, wow. That's what I said earlier. It's taking on the monster's taking on a life of its own now.
What do you have, like 5 different areas within the haunt?
5 or 6, yeah.
5 or 6?
Yeah.
You change out a couple of those every year?
Yeah, we were for a while. We were changing or adding. Like I said, we started small and we just kept adding since we had space, more sections. The last 2 years, we've kept what, like the themes that we have. We haven't changed those. We've just added more to them to fill it out, put some more scares in there, do a lot more detail work and stuff like that once we had the structures in place. We begin with a walk through the cemetery and then into a mausoleum for our first story. Then we come into a cornfield that has a kind of a Children of the Corn cult that's also mixed, like kind of a demented version of the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, where they're sacrificing people to the Great Pumpkin, into a spider forest with a witch house that ties back to the first story. Into the traveling circus, and that area has all our black light with the chroma depth, like the 3D glasses you go through for that section. One of the big tent mazes, and when you come out of the tent maze, you go into the Bunny Man shack, and then finally you go through the Cleburne family's property. You have to go through their slaughterhouse before you get run out into our backyard and the safety of the gate to get back to the road.
Where they lock the door behind you, is that when you enter the mausoleum, or do you enter like a an elevator? Is that right, or what happens?
Yeah, that's right. So the first part when you're getting through the graveyard, we added a elevator. So there were some miners that broke through, and it's like into like a lower level that year. Before, we didn't have the elevator; you just came straight in, and you ended up doing the claustrophobia tunnel. Towards the end of the mausoleum, we moved it up to the very front. So once you came out of the elevator, it took you into the claustrophobia tunnel at that level. But yeah, we had the elevator, had it synced up with some of the color piano lights and a soundtrack. And in the shaking, it was one large spring. So it's just another guy behind. So we had two miners, one in the front, put you in there, sent you down, and they were shaking on the big springs on a platform, and then the second miner came around to let people out, so it looked like it was a different guy as you had gone down like deep into the underbelly, the catacombs of the cemetery.
That's cool. How does that affect you over pretty well?
Yeah, everyone loved that. It was the first night using it. We had to work out some kinks with it as far as timing. We put it up in the very beginning so we could kind of control the crowd flow with like, okay, which groups or when we were letting groups in, because we knew if we put it in the middle or towards the end, we would have a huge backup. So kind of use that up front to be our crowd control. Lessons learned the first night with some of the audio track and stuff was a little long, so I had to go back and trim it down, cut the ride part of it out a little bit so it wasn't as long as a trip in the elevator to speed things up.
So it's on springs. That's it?
Yeah, it's a big huge spring. Yeah, huge springs on a platform, so it's not like an airbag or anything.
Yeah, I've seen the airbag. I've never seen any of these things up close or tried to build them myself because I just don't have that kind of room. But the claustrophobia room, right, or with that hallway, is that? Yeah. Do you buy the claustrophobia, or is that something that you hand make? How do you put the claustrophobia room together?
Yeah. Those bags, the vinyl material I bought off of, like already pre-made from a vendor on eBay. So I just bought those secondhand, like used off of someone on eBay that was selling stuff. And then it's just like two of those like bouncy castle air blowers to fill it up. And then a lot of work over every season re-engineering it to make sure it was like tighter to hold more air in there. So we've got it now where once you get in there, it's a squeeze to get through.
Now, so the air constantly is blowing into them, and there's an exhaust, so when you're pushing through, it lets the air go out, but it immediately fills back in. Is that how it works?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
See, I'm not so stupid. I can kind of figure some things out. The Ouija board effect. I noticed in one of the hallways you had a little Ouija board with the thing moving around on that. How is that done? Is that with magnets underneath it or something?
Yeah, exactly. So the planchette has a magnet under it, and underneath the Ouija board is a motor just doing a pattern with a magnet, so it just drags it around. And that's really set up in that scene where it's the cult has a room of basically, it's almost like a communication room. Like there's mirrors and each mirror has a Ouija board beneath it. So you're talking with the Ouija board and the mirror to the other side. The mirror that for that one to draw your attention and to look at the Ouija board, that mirror is a two-way. So we have an actor on the backside of that that appears once you're kind of looking at that. And underneath the table, there's an air cannon that the actor controls on the backside of the wall to also shoot the guests when they're completely distracted by either the Ouija board or the actor. That's a great scare right there. It gets them.
Yeah, you can never fail with the air cannon. That's the one thing I absolutely run every single year in my haunt, and no matter what else breaks or doesn't work properly at some point during the night, the air cannon always rock solid. It just works and just kills every Halloween. There was an effect that was, I think, in the Fields of the Great Pumpkin, and it looks like it's a blast of fog and a light. It's like almost like a fire is blasting up. Tell me how that works. Explain that concept.
That's one of the newer fog machines from Froggies. Has a upshot cannon to shoot your fog straight up, and you use like the quick dissipating fog so it doesn't hang around long. Basically your exhaust where your fog comes out has a circle of LED lights around it, so you can get different colors, different effects. So we were using it for like a blast of fire as the cult leader steps out to do his scare there for you.
That is a great effect. How much did that run you?
I don't remember exactly. It's several pricey? Hundred. It's a little pricey, but it's a cool effect. I saw it when
it
we were
packs
at
a punch.
Yeah. It's one of those, even when we didn't have the cult leader for a couple nights, we just even had the person that was the standstill scarecrow that was just doing a very minimal scare, still be able to set it off and get a good pop with it.
Yeah, it's great. It really caught my eye. I was like, oh, that's awesome. I may have to pick up one of those things. Let's see, the lair of the spider witch. Nice use of beef netting. Very, very impressive beef netting work there. I was thinking of, because I have a roll of beef netting, and when I was doing a walkthrough, my first walkthrough, it was all wood, and then I had problems with the town, and I couldn't have anybody walk through a structure. So I could have them like do a maze type thing as long as they're not walking into wooden walls or whatever. So I grabbed beef netting. I was starting to do that whole like spider area in there. And it's been sitting in a box in my basement. I came across it the other day. And then when I was watching your video, I'm like, you know what? I should do that just on the front of the house. You know, just because I put spiders on the roof. So maybe I will pull out that beef netting and get some use out of it and drape it all in the front of the house to have that like spider nest effect thing going on. The Traveling Circus and Oddities area. Where did you get the red and white vinyl sheets for the maze?
That was from George Mazer. He does a lot of if you look him up on his Mazer tents or on eBay, he sells those tent kits, and he does like the flamethrowers and other sort of things like that. But yeah, just once again eBay, finding like a version, like he had like a 25 room tent maze up there, and grab that up because that's been a something that's like, and you just, one of those like you kill yourself where you spend so much time doing detail, and then everyone just loves the like simplistic like maze. Everyone's been like crazy about the maze because we'll just put a ton of clowns in it, and they're all like the younger kids that can still move and crawl underneath it. There were the old guys are like, I don't want to have to blow my back out trying to sneak underneath that thing all night, but the kids are crawling under there, so like two or three of them can cover that whole maze, and you see them like multiple times over. So people love that part. Especially when they think it's like a real maze, and they keep getting lost, but it's one singular path. You just can't remember which room you've been in because they all look the same.
Yeah, they just have to push on the wall to see which one they can push through. Is that
exactly?
There's no signage or direction. They just have to feel their way through.
Yeah, there's just one of the panels has one side loose, so you just got to find the loose side to get through.
And it's just cable tied on.
Right? Yep, that's all zip-tied. Zip-tied vinyl, vinyl panels zip-tied onto like an aluminum frame with the 5-point connector at the top, so you can just keep, you know, make any kind of pattern square rooms that you want to hook together. So
now there was one. I'm not sure if this was a fact. I assume it was at one point. It was somewhere after I think that maze where. It looks like there's something going on the floor. I'm not sure if it's one of those like rocky floor setups or.
I believe what you're talking about. I can't remember. The years kind of blur together, but I think at that point we had a, as part of the, it was one of the spring bridges. So we had like furniture foam built onto a bridge. So you had to walk across it. So it kind of dipped and swirled with you as you tried to cross it. But we did it with the black light paint. So you were wearing your 3D glasses at the time.
Okay, so it kind of put you off kilter. You kind of off balance.
Yeah, and then as you walk into it, like, you know, pieces of it feel like they're shifting underneath your weight and everything.
At some point, you have one of the actors, cast members or whatever, giving them the 3D glasses when they get to that certain room or that portion of the maze.
Yeah, we usually work it in to be a character that ties in. So one year we had the bearded lady that's in the oddity section just handing glasses out right there. They get collected at the end of the 3D, which is right next to where she's at. So they can just, the person that collects them just hands them right back. So they're being, doing like a big loop, but it feels like they're coming out a different direction. Last year we had a girl that was... volunteer that was could do like contortionist work, so she was doing like the spider walking and contortionists and popping or looked like popping her arm out of socket and then handing you the glasses when she finished her routine. So anything to distract people while they're we're waiting for to get that, and then someone else sneaks up behind them right before they go in and give them a push, give them a scare and push them into the 3D.
Yeah, I take you. So you lost her already. You had her for a year, and now she's gone.
I had her last year. It really depends on how things go this year. Who comes back? Yeah. But hopefully she'll be back. Yeah, she was awesome doing the contortionist work. That's something you see at every place.
Yeah, I could hear the air cannons going off. I could hear the what is it? I don't even know what they're called. The auga, you know, like those horns.
Yeah, the one of our clowns has the clown blaster, the bright light hooked up to the horn. Yeah, he just kind of like sneak up right behind someone in the tent maze and goose them real good with the gun to make them jump. Yeah, we do a lot of like. Pneumatics, I think we had like the air whips, like the leg whips on the ground, the air cannon, of course. Had a bunch.
The ankle tickler or the leg whips, do you get a good reaction out of those?
Hit and miss. Some people freak out because they don't like things like touching their feet or whatever. And then some people are already moving through so fast I didn't even know they were there.
Yeah, that's the problem I had. I used it for like a year or so, and I found that you have to also keep the area very contained so that that if the person can sidestep, if they're not on both sides and they're only on one side, if a person's on, you know, kind of sidesteps to the other side of the hallway, they kind of misses them, and if they move through too fast, it doesn't kind of work. But you did have some pretty good actors in there. There were some people that, you know, for just your typical amateur kind of haunt, I thought were pretty cool. There was like a Sikh character that was a little sick looking. Do you know where that mask comes from?
Yeah, the mask we have in the – we have two masks at the end in the hillbilly section we got from Immortal Mask.
Oh, okay. So it's both Immortals.
Both of those were Immortals, yeah.
Probably where I saw it.
Yeah.
What else? What are some other cool things that we don't see in the video? Do you pretty much capture everything in there, or is there any other really cool effects that you really like that work extremely well?
Yeah, there were several things that didn't get in the video that night because we were just usually we're running around so crazy keeping the show going. It's like, oh yeah, did anyone remember to do a walkthrough? So We have a couple more of the pneumatics. There was one pneumatic that I don't think was in the video that's at the beginning of when you go through the entrance of the circus to go through the oddities before the black light. We have like a drop flailing clown from Poison Props right there that just drops right down from behind the big clown facade. And we got a couple more just pneumatics, just where I bought from, I think it's from DC Props, and then we put our own zombies and stuff on them that are in the cemetery. To kind of, it's a large area for the graveyard to fill with actors, so we kind of mix like actors in with a couple of pneumatics in that section.
DC, Brent's my boy.
Nice.
Yeah, he's I still own a couple of his things. I think I have a pneumatic drop panel for him. I sold off a few things because I had to rotate some stuff out that I'd used for years. I had this Bushwhacker prop that was really cool, but once again, based on the redesign, I had to lose that, and I had this coffin extender that worked so amazing for so many years for me. And eventually, I parted ways with it as somebody wanted to buy it off me, and he basically paid me what I paid for it. So, because Brent's prices went up, so it looked, you know, so
it looked like a good deal.
Yeah, it looked like a good deal to him, right?
Yeah, there's another.
Doesn't listen to the show, so I guess I can say that.
There was another the room where you're talking about the guy with the top hat that was talking about the debtor, like he's. Can't keep him in control.
Yeah,
that wasn't working that night, but the coffin behind him was also pneumatic, so the lid was popping. He was supposed to be over there trying to hold it down to keep the bodies in the coffin when you came through that room. So we'll do a little mix of, like, not every character in there is evil. There's some that are, like, good, kind of, like, to help you through your journey. So we kind of mix that up. So
yeah, no, that's
not all boot scares. Yeah.
Especially when you're doing it as a, a Halloween, still it's a yard haunt, you know, so yeah. you don't need to be too over the top and have everything trying to, you know, coming at you full throttle. Yeah. As Revenant says, you need to have like a little sorbet. You know, you can't be like rah rah rah, you know, scare, 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 scare. You've got to have highs and lows, you know, you gotta let it
exactly.
You gotta give them a little sorbet in between. The next one kind of cleans their palate and gets them ready for the next. So let's see. Funding the haunt. How do you fund the haunt?
Yeah, for the vast majority, it's coming out of my pocket. So fortunate to have a job that pays well, so I can fund my hobbies. Like I said, we work with the Haymarket Food Pantry, which is an area food pantry here. So for the most part, though, like since we're like at a home haunt and everything, we didn't want to charge for it. And I said, as long as I'm at the property, I'm not going to charge people to come. I want it to be like a community thing, and people donate what they can. So we've been very lucky in the last couple of years. A lot of people have been donating like a really great amount to help the food pantry out. And it's all worth it. Otherwise, I was like, what else am I going to be doing? I'm do some other hobby that spend money on stuff that's not giving everyone as much joy. You know?
Yeah. Look, what are you going to do? You can pick up golfing and spend tons of money on rounds and clubs and lessons, you know, just to frustrate the shit out of yourself. Or you could be a haunter. I think the choice is pretty easy there, you know?
I agree.
Do you even have to advertise at this point? I mean, obviously, you know, I don't know if you need to get more people in, or do you still try to up attend?
Outside of just like having the Facebook and the website, we try to keep a pretty low profile just because we're in a residential neighborhood. And you know, the first couple of years when we weren't having like super big turnouts, I was like, oh, I gotta tell more people, gotta get the story out more and more. And now it's at the point where the wife's like, yeah, if you bring any more people here, like, we'll have to kill you. So because we'll have lines that are now like out into the street, we're having to get, you know, crowd control and talk with the, you know, the county and everything for getting like off-duty police to do crowd control. Yeah. And so it's growing every year, and it's like, it's, yeah, at this point until I can find a new location to move, crowds are good right about where they're at. So
what about
any more than that, I was like, I think I may be going beyond
What about your actors? How do you fill the acting slots?
Like I said, we get a lot of, like when we first started, a lot of just our friends and neighbors helping out. And I now go to a local college, George Mason University. They have like a, at the beginning of the year, like a get involved fair. So go there on campus and have like a table set up to recruit people. Outside of that, it's like word of mouth or people that find us online and sign up on the volunteer form. So yeah, I mean, it's been good. Between those two and just like I said, the kids that help out in the neighborhood tell all their friends. And now it's gotten to the point where just people from local high schools have come to it and know about it. And like, oh, I know XYZ volunteered last year and said it was awesome. Can I help out this year? So between, you know, adults from like our friends group and then college and high school, we're pulling in our actors that way.
Awesome. Hey, why don't you give a little scream out to your main crew, your build crew, or some of the other people on your team?
Oh, our main bunch, like number one, the core team on the build. We got Gary, Dave, Ethan, Melvin, a great bunch of guys there. Our actors, like, I can't say enough for like how awesome those guys are. They come out and we don't let them just show up. They come out to do actor training with me. We do several sessions of like in set training and then a run through. So I think the top hat you're talking about, our grave keeper there, his name is also Gary. We got a cat. Connor, great people. August, I mean, there are so many. I mean, we have an awesome set of people to help out.
All right. Yes, now, sir. If anybody wants to either volunteer to help out, they want to find out what the schedule is or any other details about the haunt, where can they hit you up on the interwebs?
Instagram and Facebook at Haunted Lorraine Woods, and then our website, hauntba.com.
All right. Check them out. Ben, I appreciate it, man.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing HauntCast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.